With our celebration today, we come to the end of the Christmas season. We are in a time of transition that is fitting given the readings for today. Through his account of the baptism of Jesus, Luke marks the transition from the time of the prophets to the time of the fulfillment of their prophecy. As far as we know, St. Luke was not a disciple of Jesus. He learned about Jesus through the preaching of St. Paul. He then traveled with Paul on his journeys to carry the good news of salvation to the Gentiles. The universal proclamation of the good news becomes an important part of his gospel. St. Luke contrasts events in the life of John the Baptist with those in the life of Jesus. We learn about their conception and birth, the similarities and the differences. John the Baptist becomes the last prophet of the Old Covenant, and his life reflects the lives of those prophets. Jesus is the Son of God, the Messiah foretold by those prophets, the sign of the new covenant. John is drawing a lot of attention through his baptisms in the Jordan River. He has preached a baptism of repentance, a preparation for the Messiah. People begin to wonder if he himself is the Messiah. He answers them, "I am baptizing you with water, but one mightier than I is coming. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire." Exhorting them in many other ways, he preached the good news to the people. That good news is that Jesus Christ has come into the world in his humanity to save us from our sins. St. Luke recognized in his time with St. Paul that this good news was meant for all people. In our second reading today, we hear how St. Peter came to that same conclusion. After waking from a dream, he has been asked to visit the home of Cornelius, a Roman soldier who has been participating in the worship of the Jews as a God-fearer. A God-fearer is one who accepted Jewish monotheism and ethics and attended the synagogue, but did not consider himself bound by other regulations such as circumcision and observance of dietary restrictions. Cornelius and his whole family have heard about Jesus. They've gathered together and sent a request for Peter to teach them more about him. St. Peter says to them, "I see that God knows no partiality. Rather, in every nation, whoever fears him and acts uprightly is acceptable to him." He reviews some of the basic beliefs of Christianity, saying, "After the baptism that John preached, God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power. He went about doing good and healing though all those oppressed by the devil, for God was with him." Peter recognizes that the consecration of Jesus as Messiah was revealed during the time of his earthly life at the moment of his baptism by John. This was not a physical anointing with oil, but certainly an action of the Holy Spirit who descended in the form of a dove. Two other elements of that consecration by the Holy Spirit are addressed in our readings today, water and fire. Paragraph 694 in the Catechism states, "Water becomes the efficacious sacramental sign of new birth. Just as the gestation of our first birth took place in water, so the water of baptism truly signifies our birth into the divine life is given to us in the Holy Spirit. As by one Spirit we were all baptized, so we are also made to drink of one Spirit." And that is the universality that St. Luke recognized. "Thus, the Spirit is also personally the living water welling up from Christ crucified as its source, and welling up in us to eternal life." There is an explicit connection between baptism and Christ's sacrifice on the cross. Although St. John's Gospel does not give a direct account of Jesus' baptism, it is after his baptism that John the Baptist points to him and says, "Behold the Lamb of God." Jesus will become the Lamb offered once forever for the forgiveness of our sins. Also in John's account of the crucifixion, blood and water flow out of Jesus after his death, signifying he is the source of grace for baptism in the Eucharist. The third element, fire, signifies birth and the fruitfulness of life given in the Holy Spirit. It symbolizes the transforming energy of the Holy Spirit's actions. The prophet Elijah was a figure of the fire of the Holy Spirit who transforms what he touches. John the Baptist, who goes before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah, proclaims Christ as the one who will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Another characteristic of fire is it provides light. The pillar of fire led the people of Israel through the Red Sea. And that is why Jesus is baptized to lead us to baptism. Jesus is this fire described in our first reading today from the prophet Isaiah. Here is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen one with whom I am pleased, upon whom I have put my spirit. I formed you and set you as a covenant of the people, a light for the nations to open the eyes of the blind, to bring out prisoners from confinement and from the dungeon those who live in darkness. And in our sinfulness, we are the ones in the dungeon, Jesus leading us out through the light of the nations. Through his baptism, Jesus accepts and begins his mission to bring light to the nations. He allows himself to be numbered among sinners. He is already the Lamb of God. He anticipates the baptism of his bloody death. Already he is coming to fulfill all righteousness. That is, he is submitting himself entirely to his Father's will. Out of love, he consents to this baptism of death for the remission of our sins. The Father's voice responds to the Son's acceptance, proclaiming his entire delight in his Son. The Spirit, whom Jesus possessed in fullness from his conception, comes to rest upon him. Jesus will be the source of the Spirit for all humanity. At his baptism, the heavens were opened, the heavens that Adam's sin had closed, and the waters were sanctified by the descent of Jesus and the Spirit, a prelude to the new creation. Through our own baptism, we are assimilated to Jesus into his death and resurrection. We too must enter into this mystery of humble self-abasement and repentance. Go down into the water with Jesus in order to rise with him. Be reborn of water and the Spirit so as to become the Father's beloved children through the Son and walk in newness of life. Baptism begins our transition to eternal life. Reflecting on baptism today reminds us we are pilgrims here, not tourists. In the celebration of our Jubilee, we see through our baptism the hope that inspires us to work to bring about the kingdom of God here on earth. As Pope Francis said, our life of faith, which begins with baptism, develops in openness to God's grace and is enlivened by a hope constantly renewed and confirmed by the working in the Holy Spirit.